And today's message is simply no peel. No peel. What do you mean, John? Well, last time I preached, a few weeks ago, it was just an orange, and I'm going to just summarize in 2 minutes. You don't have to be there, but it was about just an orange. And I took a bag, and I took out an orange, and I said, this orange I'm going to eat. And then I'm just going to eat and throw away the rest. I'm not even going to eat it all. And the next orange I took out, and I said, this orange I'm going to take out. I'm going to take the seeds. I'm going to send to California because I'm from California. Amen. Great state. And I have friends that are going to plant the seeds, and they're going to go online, and they're going to track the trees, and this seeds, they're going to send those seeds all around the world. And then I said, well, the truth of the matter is, and I emptied the bag, there's only one orange. What changed? The different description. Description. So what description do you have over your life? You're either living with a description that he has, or you're living under description what man has said about you. Here's your limits. This is as high as you'll ever go. This is the most money you'll ever make. This is the most ministry you'll ever do. You can live under that, or you can live what he said. So what description? It was the same orange. It was two different descriptions. I want to look at David. I want to look at David, and simply this is no peel. Basically, there's a purpose for a peel on an orange. It's to protect the orange. The orange is growing. It's maturing. But then there comes a time when the peel needs to be removed so what's inside can be revealed. And God has a peeling of our lives. He peels things away. And I'm not just talking about sins. I'm talking about descriptions and limits, and this is who you are. We're going to look at David. Now, I think most people in here know the story of King David. He was the son of Jesse, had many brothers. God told Samuel, go anoint the king. I have a new king for you. And the dad said, he didn't even call him because he said, these are the sons that qualify to be king. And the youngest in the field, he doesn't qualify for. So I don't know if you feel disqualified, but man does not qualify you. See, man does not determine your destiny. So this is not about, I'm going to look at two things. We're going to look at confession, and we're going to look at countenance. Now, the Greek word for confession does not mean just to say. It comes from two words. The first word, together. The second word, speak to a conclusion. Who are you together with? Him. See, there was a teaching a while back, and it was about positive confession, right confession. And there's some good truth in that. The problem is people were confessing things they wanted. And it wasn't together. There was no together because God's not in that. I confess his wife, that Mercedes. Come on. You know, all sorts of things. And it's not biblical. Well, there's things. See, you don't determine your destiny. You discover it. Before you were born, God already determined your destiny. Pastor Allen, he's a pastor. He didn't say, I'm going to be pastor. It's something he didn't want. When I first met him in Roswell, New Mexico, he was not a pastor at that time. So I said, hey, what are your prophetic words? If you don't know a prophetic word, it's basically what God says over you. It's just a gift. Someone says, I feel like God's saying. If it's God, you'll know. Sometimes you get scared, but it's just a gift. Why? Because we don't know everything. We need him still. And it's a gift of the Spirit. Why would you refuse anything from God? There's entire denominations that say, Lord, we'll take this from you, but not this. Why would you reject anything from him? Because it's good. Amen? So I said, what's some prophetic words? And they said, one day I'm going to be a pastor. He didn't like it. So I kept calling him Pastor Allen. Pastor Allen. Remember? Pastor Allen. I was annoying him. He didn't know me. I still annoy him. Well, what was I doing? Who was I agreeing with? God. Together. Speak to a conclusion. See, when you confess what he says. See, it wasn't, Samuel didn't go, Jesse, give me the son you think. See, this is not about what your dad said about you, what your mom said about you. This is not about everybody what says the epicenter. Because this is a corporate word and an individual word. You know, Julia played music. She's awesome. If I went to Julia after the service and I said, around all you guys that know her, Julia, you should quit playing music and start learning chess. Because think of all the people you could minister to on the chess circuit. I love chess. You guys would say, John, what are you doing? That's not her gift. But people will come into a church and go, you guys should do this. You guys should do that. And really go, what is the assignment here? See, it's not on you. You should do this. You should feed the homeless. You should do this. No, we have an assignment from him. There's general things, and then we have an assignment to him. You can give to people that feed the homeless, have a heart for homeless, and not have a homeless ministry. Our assignment is a training center, a revival center, a healing center. Easy and Lena did not come up with that. They didn't want to work with young people at first, especially Easy. And then all of a sudden, God changed things. It's funny when God takes your money away, all of a sudden you get a focus. God, what do you want? So first you need to hear from him, not what he said. My dad did not even like the fact that I became a Christian because he was raised Catholic. But God didn't go up to my dad and say, is it okay if I call your son to preach? He didn't ask him. No, God never asked anybody what he's called you to do before you were born. Friends, before the world was created, he had your destiny over you. You do not determine it. You do discover it. So first is we ask him. We're not confessing things together with to say to a conclusion, there's an ending. So he didn't go, Jesse, pick your son you think. It would have been the tallest, the best looking. God said, no, no. And he let man do his thing. You know, God didn't stop him and go, that's not it. He'll let you. No, no, no. Are you done? Are you done? Are you done? Are you done trying to do it in your own strength, trying to figure things out? Are you done? Because when you're done, honey, I can speak. He said, that's not it. And so Samuel goes, this ain't it. Is there any more? Well, there's one in the field, and he brought him in. Before David was born, he was anointed to be king. So he anoints. This is about no peel. This is about revealing. Because what happens is sometimes people go, I'm ready. Well, no, you're not ready. The fruit isn't mature. And if you unpeel it and plant the seeds, I read about oranges. They said, don't plant an immature fruit because it won't reproduce. And, you know, we're all into seedless fruit now, right? You know, seedless fruit technically aren't even fruit. It's not even fruit. We use the word fruit, and they're sterile. They don't reproduce. Friend, you don't want to be seedless. You want to have seeds in you to produce. They don't even produce. Why do they make seedless fruit? Because it's convenient. A convenient life will not reproduce the kingdom. I don't want to be inconvenienced. It's easier to eat seedless fruit. You want a convenient and an easy life, you will not reproduce. Do not be sterile. Now, I like seedless fruit, but I don't want to be a seedless fruit. I don't want to be a fruit. I want to be a good fruit. I'm from California. Fruits and nuts, man. You guys okay? Because, see, this is not about fruit. This is about your destiny. You get one life. There's no redos. There's no going back. There's no I wish I should have, could have. There's only what is. And you start today. So he pulled David. David says he anointed king. He was anointed to be king. He had the purpose, but not the position. See, sometimes there's purpose over your life. You just haven't been in position yet. When Pastor Allen went to New Mexico, his purpose was pastor. He just wasn't in the position of pastor yet. And the enemy will come along. See, David was king when he was running in the caves. He was still anointed to be king when he was playing before Saul. And the enemy will come along and say, where you are is who you are. See, where you are is not always who you are. So he was still king when he was running in the caves. He just didn't come into that position yet. But there comes a peeling. No peel means the full revelation of who you really are. It's because there's an orange. There's an orange. See, I didn't know this was going to be the second message. I just picked an orange. Why? Because God already predestined. John, I want you to preach on this, so I'm going to give you a fruit that has a peel because I want a peeling back, a revealing of who we really are. See, we're only partially revealed, but there will be a full revelation of the epicenter, healing, training, revival center. Amen? See, we're portioned, and you can see there's an orange in there. And see, God doesn't peel like I peel. I peel crazy. I mean, when I was working in Colorado, I worked for a sign company. I was eating an orange. I ripped that orange open, man. I just ate it like, hurr. The guy next to me, he's a construction worker. He's not, you know, he just looked at me. I didn't know he's watching me. And then he goes, that orange didn't have a chance, did it? It was all over the place. God doesn't peel us like that. He's gentle because he doesn't want to lose anything that he's created on the inside. And he's gentle. And I'm not just talking about bad things, but there's a peeling and a revealing. And so there comes a beginning. So confess means together, speak to a conclusion. Amen? So we're gonna be together with him, and we're going to speak the things he says to a conclusion. We're not going to let what man has determined about us. You'll never go here. You'll never get married. You'll never have kids. The best life is behind you. No. You know, God doesn't ask men. He's already determined. The three in heaven bear witness, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They don't need men to agree with them for them to determine it. They just need men to agree for it to walk out. Confess your sins does not mean just to speak. It means to agree with God, what I did was wrong. And when you confess your purpose and destiny, you're not just saying, I'm a preacher, I'm a businesswoman, businessman, I'm a mom. When you confess, you God, I agree with what you're saying, and I'm going to speak it out. See, but the Bible says if we confess with our mouths and what? Believe in our hearts. It's not just confessing, it's believing. Because he just does not want us to say it. He wants us to believe it. For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when we get around other Christians, we'll talk Christianese, right? Bless you, bless you, bless you. But what's the real countenance of your heart? What's the confession of your heart? Do you really believe him? Do you really believe him? So first we have to hear what he's saying. Otherwise we're going to say stuff he's not saying and he's not in. We're just confessing. The Greek word for confess does not mean, in fact, They used, you know, I love looking at outside the Bible what they were used for the day, because Greek was a language they used for the day. They didn't make up a Bible language. And that word actually come from a judgment. You get before the judge and you would confess. Friends, he's already judged your destiny and purpose as good, as whole, as full. So we don't determine. If he's called you to do ministry and business, that's what he's done. But if you want to do ministry and not business, what has he said over your life? A lot of people don't know. They say, I never have a promise. No, you have promises over your life. You just never heard it because you've never stilled yourself and said, God, what have you said? For my entire life, I've listened to what my man said, my dad said, you're no good. And when those words rehearse like a cassette player, some of you guys remember cassette players, right? Our broken record over and over and over again, and we have limits. Son, the kingship is not for you, David. Well, you don't determine that. He sent a prophet that hears from God. He didn't ask for a vote. The brothers didn't get together. Who do you guys think's the greatest? David wouldn't even been there. There was no vote on your destiny. It was determined before you were ever born. And he wants to peel back everything that has limited you, contained you. Because, see, that orange has limits. But when you're ready, the peel has a purpose. It's to protect you, amen? So things are growing. He's protecting you. I'm ready. No, you're not ready. We're not going to eat the orange like John eats the orange. We're not going to tear it apart. But when the color is ripe and you go, what do they do when they go to the store? What do you look at? You look at the what? Peel. You look at the peel. You look at the color. People poke it. I'm not going to say certain people, they'll taste it. I've seen crazy people, man. They'll eat the cherries and the grapes. You're supposed to sample it. Really, you're taking the whole bag with you, going up and down the aisles, just getting full? But they look at the peel. But when it's ready, what happens? It needs to come off. And God wants those things to come off and reveal who you really are, who you were destined to be all along. See, in the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah, he asked. He asked God. Is it time? God said, go up. David asked, where shall I go? To Hebron, the Lord answered. There was a specific place for David to go. So he was anointed king. Now, he didn't just all of a sudden go from no king to ruling over Judah and Israel. Because you got to remember, it was divided. You had Judah and you had Israel. So first, David ruled over Judah. But there's a beginning. And sometimes we get a beginning. We get a little breakthrough. We have a good service. You get some money. You get a check. And the enemy says, that's it. Congratulations. But there's more to be revealed. I noticed you took your check with you, Janine. You should have left it up here. Amen. But we celebrate with other people. Houses being paid off, cars being paid off, babies being born, people getting married. You just recently went to someone else. I was so excited when they were setting. It's not about being jealous, friends. We need to be. It's amazing when you have gratitude and thankfulness. It's amazing. It's a sound in heaven where it attracts the more for your life, not the less. So the enemy comes along and says, this is you. There's three slices. No, when you peel an orange, there's many slices, right? So what happens is we have a partial peel, and then we go, this is who you are. You're going to teach here, move here, make this much money, always work for this person, never get out of here, always have this. Your kids will always be bad. They'll always be flunking. You always have this. But there's more, and so there needs to be a more revelation, and the Holy Spirit wants to come in and peel back and show you who you really are. This is what I've called you to be before you were ever born. So David says, I go up. So there's a beginning. So he went up to Hebron. And the war between the house of Saul and the house of David lasted a long time. David grew stronger and stronger while the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. How long did the war last? A long time. And see, sometimes we just want the immediate, when there's a battle, we think there's resistance. But it lasted a long time, but David was getting stronger and stronger. See, there was a position for David. He was to be king over Israel and Judah. There was a purpose for him because he was a lineage. See, it's not about David, it's about Jesus. Jesus was to come through David. See, your purpose is not about you, friends. It's about Jesus. And you think it's about you. There's a scripture in the Bible where it says, and then David realized while he was king, it was for the people's Israel's sake. And one day he noticed. He had the promise. He had the word. He had the success in battle. He was a warrior, man. He would worship and be a warrior. That's what he's called every man to be. A worship and a warrior. Don't ever think worship's weak. Worship is strong, friends, strong. We come in, we can't raise our hands. That means, you know, you're telling me when you can't raise your hands, you can't have victory. Then you can't have him because he's high up. And when a little kid loves their father, what do? They raise their hands. When you raise your hand, you say, I receive everything you have for me. And he washes us off. He's not in heaven waiting for you to fail. He's not against you. He's for you. And he's there at the training wheels, and the training wheels come off. You wreck on the bike. He doesn't go, I knew they weren't going to make it. Jesus, did you see that sin? Let's go to this one. He puts you up. He cleans you up. He moves you forward. Did David make mistakes? He had a man killed. You know what we do with someone like that today? They'd be in prison. He would never get out. Unless you're in Massachusetts, then you'd serve 2 weeks. But what we do to people, it's crazy. And it's like, man, but God saw his heart. And David says, I've sinned against you only. I agree with God. I'm going to confess. I agree with what I did was wrong. The two were in agreement. And since I can say that was wrong, then I can start with what's right. And this baby didn't make it, but then Solomon came. So there's David. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the tribe of Judah. God already anointed him. Other men came. Other men, people in the body of Christ will validate your call and your gifting. I had a friend, and when I was in New Mexico, I've been all over places, and I was in New Mexico, and we used to go to these meetings, all kinds of meetings, and everybody would say, you're an evangelist, you're an evangelist, you're an evangelist. One meeting, someone said, you're an apostle. You know what he always said? I'm an apostle. What about all those evangelism words? People will validate who you really are. If you have the gift of hospitality, you'll know it because people will want to come over. You know, and that's an important gift. You know, it's funny, we talk about different gifts. You know how many people have received Jesus over just a glass of lemonade? Just because they felt welcome in someone's house? You can be in a $1 million house and not feel welcome, and you can be in a small home and feel welcoming. Many people have received Jesus at simple tables with tears falling down over a glass of lemonade and some cookies. They didn't have a microphone. They didn't have a mega church. And an entire life was changed. Don't ever discount what God has given you. Somebody's given one, some two, and some five. Who hid their gift? It was the one. Not important. Not important. I'm just a greeter. I just clean the urinals. I just do this. I just do that. And what did Jesus say? Where's my return? It was the one. He said, you wicked, lazy servant. He goes, I didn't lose anything, but you didn't gain anything. The kingdom of God is not about losing, friends. It's about gaining. And the gifts and calls on you, just like David, it's for Jesus. And the lineage, it could be traced back to King David. And he has the call in your life. It could be money, to make money. Why? To give. Why? So people's lives can be changed. I'll give you a story. We were in Belize on a missions trip. We're all standing there. We're getting ready to leave, and there's this little boy looking at us. He was a special needs kid. And one of the pastors goes, I go, who's that kid by the fence? He goes, he's just looking at you guys. He goes, when I get back home, I'm going to sponsor him. $30 a month. And somebody in the group goes, I want to do it now. I want to get $50. So they gave $50. $50 and we left. Pastor Alessandro, some of you know him. I said, what happened to that? He goes, John. He goes, they gave the $50. The pastor that were the host pastor went to the store and he bought backpacks and school supplies for the kids. And they came to the house and the family goes, what's this for? This is for your son. So-and-so gave it. They go, somebody gave this that didn't even know us? The entire family went to church and got saved. Over $50. See, that's the problem. We don't know what our seeds are going to do. Now, if we would have said, who wants to give $10 a soul? Everybody would have done it. But we don't know till we get to heaven what it did. See, it's not $10 a soul. It was just the $50 out of their heart. And the whole family got saved, seven of them, because of a backpack and school supplies and pins. It's just $50. They weren't a preacher. They weren't on TV. They weren't on Charisma Magazine. They weren't on TV and every other Christian thing you can think of. Nobody knew them, but the seven in heaven will know. Don't ever discount your gift, whatever he's called you to do, amen? But I'm just saying there's more. We don't stop. Now, there's areas in our life, and I'm not dumb. I know there's areas where there's a full revealing and other areas where there's a partial revealing. But God wants to come into us wholeness where everything in us becomes revealed. It's like Clark Kent, you know? It's like Jesus. Jesus on earth was covered. He had a peel on him of humanity, and people didn't fully see who he really was. John, who was the closest to Jesus, put his head on his chest. Peter, James, and John, the disciple Jesus loved, always close unto him. When he gets to heaven in the book of Revelation, he falls down. What's the matter, John? Why can't you stand up? Because he saw Jesus for who he really was, with no peel. Jesus had to touch him for him to get up. Just the sound of his voice knocked him down. See, there needs to be a full revelation. When we get to heaven, what does it say? We will know him as we are known. Not no things, not no ministers, not no conferences, not no CDs. We will know him. This is about Jesus. There's no other way around it. There's a scarlet cord that runs from Genesis to Revelation, back and forth. He's everywhere. He was Boaz. He was David who fought Goliath. He was the fourth man in the fire. So it's about Jesus breathing life through you. Amen? And then so David had the call. He had the anointing. When he wasn't king, he still had the anointing for king. He still had the call to be king. And your purpose is on you, even though you may not be in position for that. And there's things that are growing under the peel, but then there comes a season and a time where the peel comes back and everybody can see who you really are. And hopefully that'll point them to Jesus, not your gift. You're so anointed. Fail. That was a good sermon. Fail. You need to walk out going, I love you more, Jesus. I want to know you more. I want to see you more. I want to, you know, when Moses didn't know God, he didn't know God. God revealed himself. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He revealed himself to Moses, and then he revealed Moses to who he is. Go deliver my people. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and you are deliverer. First is who I am. Second is who you are. He wants to reveal himself first to you, and second, who you really are. Amen? Not what man has said about you. The peel, the containment, the confinement, the definitions, what people have spoken over you, the things you have done. If you only knew what I did, this is as far as I can ever go. The peeling back to reveal the full revelation of the orange inside you. Amen? So David has a process. So he ruled over Judah for 7 years. And then when the men came, then David was told that it was the men from Jabesh Gilead who had buried Saul. They buried Saul. So he sent messengers to them saying, "The Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burying him. May the Lord show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave." And then he says this, "For Saul, your master, is dead, and the people of Judah have anointed me king over them." That's a bold statement. The past is over. I'm the new king. And some of us need to be bold. See, David wasn't the little shepherd boy out in the skirts anymore. He was a man going, "They've anointed me king, and I'm going to be who he's called me to be. I'm not going to run from it. I'm not going to be afraid of it. I'm not going to deny it." Doesn't mean you need to boast about it, walk around, tell everybody you're an apostle. No, not about that. But it's like, this is who I really am. See, I'm a catalyst. I'm called to make change in people's lives. I'm not called for people to look at me. When they came to John the Baptist, they asked him, "Who are you? Who are you? We want to know who you are. You're Elijah. You're this. You're this." I'm a voice crying out. And that's what I want to be, a voice, a sign, this way to Jesus. Don't stop here. This way to Jesus, the one that changes you, fills you, saves you, change, gives you purpose and destiny, does not come from man. I don't care how many prophetic words have spoken over you. I ask God to say, what are they repeating? What God says together to speak to a conclusion. A conclusion. It's not to get promises. God does not give you promises over your life so you can keep believing promises till the day you die. It's so you can see some of it be fulfilled, and those that you don't, to be carried on through your lineage. Amen? Spiritual, well, I'm not going to have kids. Well, you can have spiritual kids, and everybody should have people they're putting into. You know, it doesn't mean you have to have a disciple. But when was the last time you shared Jesus? Really? Well, John, you don't know. No, when was the last time you shared Jesus? There's somebody that you're praying for, and I'm not saying you need to stand on a street corner, turn or burn. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't do that. No, I'm just saying. But there's ways. And you know what? Boldness and fear, I'm not talking about personality. Because you can be a quiet person and bold. So you don't need to be like, "Jesus." No, you can do it your own way. There's some quiet, bold people. Amen? Amen? So you don't need to be like that. So he said, So there comes a point where you need to declare who you really are. Confess together with who? Him. "God, I'm going to say what you say about me. I'm going to say what you say, and I'm going to say what you say about yourself. You're good. You're holy. You're righteous. You're forgiving, you're loving, you're able." And then we can see other people as he sees them, not as we see them. Well, they're this, we're this. What has God said over their life? I'm going to agree with that. It's amazing how it'll change your life. And I'm not saying we don't see faults in people. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying is overall the criticisms, the judgments, we can see people as God sees them. And we can, you know, and I'm not going to just tell you stuff that I don't believe is true. People say, "I'm going to do this." God's called me to go to Juarez. For those of you who don't know, I go in and out of Juarez. But he told me to go there. See, it's not about us picking and choosing where we want to go, what we want to say, what we want to be. He determines our destiny, amen? So that's it. So they marched. Then the king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, this is what they said to David, after he was king in Judah, he says, "You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off." That's a burn. That'd be on Facebook. "Even the blind and the lame can ward you off." What they're saying, you are not able to enter to here. And the enemy comes along and says, you will never be what he's called you to be. The blind and the lame can ward you off. They thought David, this is what the Bible says, they thought David cannot get in here. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, which is the city of David. He renamed it. David took up residence in the fortress and called it the city of David. Now, before David took it over, was it the city of David? No. It was another name. What name? Who cares? Doesn't matter. See, some of you need to rename areas in your life. What you'll never be is now. What you'll never achieve, you need to rename it and claim it. You'll never enter in here. The voices we hear, the limits, the peels, we need to peel it back and hear his voice. The lame and the blind will ward you off. The weak, we don't even need the strong to ward you off. You will never enter into what he's called you to do. Did God call David to do that? Yes. Amen. Did he call David to be king over all Israel? Yes. Whose choice was that? He's just agreeing with God. This is not about making stuff up. Or I confess, I declare. No, I can declare things he's declared. So he renamed it the City of David. So we need to rename the areas of our life. They'll say, you will never be here. You'll never enter in here. The blind and the lame can ward you off. You've always been weak. You've always been this. And they see, that's what happens. We look at our past and where we're at, and we'll say, this is all I'll ever be. I'm just an orange on a tree. And God says, I'm not done yet. Grow up, mature, and I'm going to peel back when it's time. And when the orange is ready, we don't want it to sit on the vine. What happens? It gets rotten. And there's rotten Christians that have never fully expressed their gifts because of fear, intimidation, or they want to be convenient. They want to be seedless. It's easier. It's more convenient. I don't want to bear seeds. I don't want to bear fruit. I don't want to pray for other people. I don't want to give because I don't care about other people. I don't want to take a mission trip. I don't want to learn about messages and sermons when God's called them to preach or sing. I don't want to learn an instrument. I don't want to learn about business. I'm just content and convenient, and don't infringe on my zone. See, but this isn't it. This life isn't it. So he renamed it the City of David. You can rename things. Never to now. What'll never be, you can say it's now. What'll never happen, so you need to rename it. Who named it? City of David. He named it after himself. Nothing wrong with that when God says to. It became a fortress for him. The very area they said they'll never enter. Some of us, I'll give you an example. Let's say, for example, you've never had money. Let's say your parents have, let's just say as an example, right? Your parents have always worked hard. Nothing wrong with working hard. But God's called you to have a business and make lots of money to give. And then so you have a thought, this is all I'll ever be. And you hear a voice, no, you're not going to come in here. The blind and lame can ward you off. You didn't go to Harvard Business School. You didn't do this. You say, God, I'm going to confess. I'm going to be in one with and agree with what you're saying over my life. And I just thank you, Lord. I'm going to be wealthy for the kingdom. So you can't just stop at wealthy because there's no purpose in that. Wealthy for the kingdom. You can't just stop at preacher. I want to be preached to see people's lives change. You got to keep going because it's about people that you're bringing to Jesus. See, it's not just about your gifts and your callings. It's about the kingdom. It's about him. And when you get to heaven, may there be people there because you lived. May somebody be in heaven because you lived. Seven people will be in heaven over $50. They just didn't know it. We didn't know it. And we live our lives wanting to know, if I go here, what will I get? If I give this money, will I get 100-fold? If I do this, what will I get? And God says, just do it. David says, God, you called me to be king. Where should I go? Should I go up? Yes. Where should you go? Hebron. God, I had a specific place. God is specific. If you don't read the Bible, you can get to know that. He's faithful and he's specific. And when he tells you don't worry about it and don't know, he knows. He never goes, I don't know. He'll tell you not to worry, but he knows. I don't know. Let me think about that. Let me figure that one out. You'll never hear that from him. You'll hear, trust me. Trust me. There'll be a fourth man in the fire. Trust me. Because the hands that peel you, friends, have been pierced. We don't serve a God that never went through affliction or pain or turmoil. He's lived it. He's been rejected by his own creation. He washed the feet of the man who knew he was going to betray him. He gently peels. So David, first he went to Hebron. He was king over Judah. There's a purpose. There's a beginning. We can't stop there, though. When you have a breakthrough, when you have a check, when you have some fruit on the tree, you can't stop there. Janine's not, I'm content with three grapes. No one would keep going, right? No one would say, that's good, Janine, you got three grapes. Chop the tree down. You know? But we do that over our life. Well, you had a little success. You're good. That's it. And the enemy goes, no more. Why did the enemy try to kill Jesus when he was a baby? Why does he come and tell somebody, you're never going to be in ministry, never going to be in business? Why does the enemy do that? Because think of everything he's seen. Your life is a blip, friend. You look at the created being, Satan, Lucifer, who fell. Lucifer changed his name. See, God changes names, not us. Jacob, Israel, Lucifer, Satan. Think of everything he's ever seen. Why does he attack little things? Because he's seen babies in the manger become messiahs. He's seen boys out in the field that nobody wanted become a shepherd boy. He's seen orphan girls become queens who save an entire people group. He's seen a man thrown in prison twice to come out and save God's people. He's seen it all. You have it. He was there when the Red Sea split. He was there. He was there when he fell down because it was him. He was there when Jesus rose again and all his army couldn't stop him. He's seen it all. That's why he wants to kill the seed in you, because he believes it. You may not believe it, but he believes it. He's seen it all. He's seen Moses on the backside of the desert for 40 years doing nothing. And then in one day he turned aside and met the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's seen it all. Pharaoh's army get thrown in the sea. Think of everything he's seen. And so when you come along, he'll lie to you. You'll never be. The lame and the blind will keep you in here, knowing full well if you connect with him, you can do anything he has said. With man, it's impossible. Who? With man. But with all, see, ambulances, I said it a while back. I said, I don't know if you guys remember. I go, whether you believe it or not, we're going to get a building. That's a corporate promise. I can't say that about your individual destiny. I can't say whether you believe it or not it's going to happen. I can't say that because you need to believe. Together with, speak to a conclusion. So first is confession. Are you guys getting something? And second is countenance. What's the countenance of your heart? Confession and countenance. What's the confession of your heart, not just your mouth? It's important what we speak, yes. But it's your heart and mouth speaks. What's the speaking of your heart when you're all alone and God, Satan comes along and says, did God really say? Did he really say you're going to do this, be here, go here? Did he really say you're going to affect the nations? Did he really say you're going to write a check? You'll write one check more than you've ever made? Did he really say? And there's a countenance. When Hannah, you guys know the story of Hannah, right? She was barren and she wanted a son. So she goes to the priest. She goes in the temple and there's Eli. If you know Eli, he wasn't a really great priest. He let his sons run havoc. You know, and he saw her praying and thought she was drunk, and she wasn't drunk. And so he said, when she said, no, I'm not drunk, I'm just praying for a son, Eli said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. An earthly priest said that. And she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something because she wasn't eating, and her face was no longer downcast. She received from an earthly priest. How much more should we see from a heavenly priest? Her countenance changed before she held the son. See, there's something about thankfulness. Sabata talked about it last week. There's something about thinking. So John, I don't know where to start. The confession of my heart's not in a good place. The countenance of my heart is not in a good place. Start with thankfulness. Her countenance changed before she held her son. Why? Because she believed an earthly priest. Friends, we have a high priest. That's not Eli. Eli died, but there's a high priest that doesn't die. He lives forever. He never dies. They tried to put him in a tomb once. He only needed to borrow it for 3 days. He gave it back. I'm just going to borrow this for 3 days. I don't even need it. Satan's seen it all. He believes every word over your life. Do you? He's seen it all. And he believes every word in that book. So her countenance changed before she held her son. There's something about giving God thanks before you see the fulfillment of it. See, when you thank him for the billing before we got it, there's something, that's faith, friends. And he wants us to get to the place where, you know what, God, the confession of my heart and the counsel of my heart is going to change, and I'm going to start with being thankful for what I've already received. See, there's not a person in here probably that can't think of her salvation. If you don't know Jesus, you can know him. You can know him. You can know him. Not me, not a person. You can know him. And it can change. And you start with salvation. God, I thank you that you saved me when I was 13 years old and you didn't ask my dad to give me a call. And see, when I came to the Epicenter, I didn't know I was a preacher. When I first came here, Lena peeled it back and she goes, you're a preacher. She did not give me my destiny. She described it. John, you're a preacher. I'm going to tell you what God has destined you to be. And she started to peel me back. And there was more layers. And now I didn't know I was going to go to war. See, when God called me at 13, he didn't say, I'm called you to preach. I'm called you to go in Latin America, have revivals in Africa and India, all these things, all these words. Those words won't come out. They won't come true if I don't keep walking with him. If I stop here over one or two pills, I'm just a preacher. No, you got to keep walking. No, there's more success as a business person. There's more success as a mom. There's more success as a church. There's more success. You know, we can't stop at this building. We'll have other buildings in other nations. Come on. There'll be a generation Jesus all around the world. Why? Because we believe God. Because he really said. It's not about confessing stuff he didn't say. So what he said over you. First, we must listen to what he said. Then the confession and the countenance of our heart. And she didn't go along sad. An earthly man told her, may the Lord bless you. May God bless you. Next. Eli wasn't this godly person. He just made the Lord bless you. He thought she was drunk. Woman, put away your whiskey, your wine. She goes, it's early in the morning. My heart is broken. I don't have a son. I keep getting tormented by my enemies saying you have no torment. And some of us have been tormented. You don't have, you don't have, you don't have, you don't have, you don't have. You'll never be. You go to a wedding again. You're not in it watching them. You'll never be. Money, house, whatever he's tormented you for, day after day after day. And finally she went to the priest. Not even a high priest. Went to the priest. Jesus is our high priest, and we can go to him. And our countenance and our confession can change. Amen? We just start being thankful. It's amazing. About 8 months ago, somebody called me on the phone. They were going through a hard time with their job. And I said, let's start being thankful. I began to weep on the phone because I felt God's presence. We weren't thanking him for what he was going to do. We thanked him for what he already done in his life. It's amazing. Thankfulness attracts heaven. It's a sound in heaven. It's not just thank you. It's God, I want more. And you know, when you're thankful, you don't even have to ask for more. It just attracts heaven. There's certain things that attract heaven. Like there's a sound in heaven. Offering gives a sound. In the Old Testament, they would put change. It would make a sound. The widow came over now, and she didn't have a real big sound because she had two little pennies. So their sound, hers made a little. But in heaven, hers made the most. See, what's the sound of your heart in heaven? Not just on earth. I confess God's good. He's awesome. We're going to be a revival center. What really is the confession and the countenance of your heart? And her face changed when she heard the priest say, go your way. May he bless you. Well, today I declare over you, you have a high priest saying, go your way. He's not going to bless you. He has blessed you. It's not a may or a might. It's a will, and he has. Because he's on your side. He's not against you, friends. He's for you, amen. And everything he's spoken over you is yes and amen. So what is the confession and the countenance of your heart? We need a checkup with Dr. Jesus. There's no shame to be on his table. God, here's my heart and here's my confession. Sorry for everything I said and every doubt and everything. God, I want you to change me. I believe, Jesus, help my unbelief. And the Holy Spirit comes in like a fresh wind. Jesus is the lion and he's the lamb. And sometimes he's soft, sometimes he's powerful. He's exactly what he needs to be in your life. Sometimes he comes in like a lion and he rips the enemy out. Him, he comes in like a lamb and lays to you. John, is he really that good? He really is. And you have a heavenly father. He's not like a father. He is a father. And he comes along and says, this is who you are. And he wants to peel back. Amen? And there's going to be a peeling of the epicenter. There's going to be more. I remember the word Sabata. He said, man, one time after service, I saw Alan doing worship, and I saw a fire come behind him. And the revival wind swept. Before the sermon? Yeah, because he said. So we're going to leave here in about 3 minutes. I'm going to dismiss you guys. I want you to think about everything that he's already done and start giving thanks in your life. Just take a day or two and stop asking him for stuff and start thanking him for everything he's already done. Watch what happens in your life. God, here's my list. I need. God, thank you. When Tabata talked about the lepers coming back, he says, didn't I heal 10? Only one came back and gave him thanks. He was so thankful because he knew the condition. There is no hope in this condition. Without Jesus, you had no hope. The sacrifice of bulls and animals did not wash the sins. It covered the sins. God knew it was still there. So you had justice and mercy. Justice wanted to be satisfied. Mercy wanted to be satisfied. Justice and mercy struggled. And they sat down at a table one day, and they both were satisfied. And it's the Lord's table. And on the cross, justice and mercy were fully satisfied. Mercy was fully shown, and justice was fully shown. So Jesus took the place of everything, every negative or bad thing you need to walk through, and say, Lord, I thank you that you're with me in the fire. You know, the Bible says, you know, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know why it's a shadow of the valley of death? Because there's a light. You don't have a shadow unless there's a light. And it's the shadow of the valley of death because there's a light, and he is the light. And we walk through it. And there's nothing you're in, around, going through that he's not with you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, amen? Sometimes he just needs to let him out. And the first thing is thanking. So, Lord, we just thank you right now. I thank you for every good thing that you've given these people, God.